What's going on, people? This your man, a.k.a. Mr. Low-Key Q, a.k.a. Mr. Shot of the Day, a.k.a. First Responder Receptionist, a.k.a. Mr. Chris Sneed, and I'm with Michelle C. on Candid Kisses TV Comedy Podcast. Y'all make sure y'all follow me on all platforms at It's Chris Sneed, Instagram, Chris Sneed, Facebook, Chris Sneed, YouTube. You catch me all over, man. Come on, let's make it happen, Michelle.
It's the Jill of all trades, Michelle C., a.k.a. DJ Make a Move. She cute. Your host of Candid Kisses TV, everywhere you need to be. And if you don't know by now, it's not your typical interview, y'all.
Candid Kisses, blown away. Candid Kisses, TV for tomorrow, today. Throw that auto tune on that bitch, have you sound like Teddy Payne.
Hi there, this is Kim Cole, and you are rocking with Candid Kisses TV.
It's your boy, Talon, baby. Chillin' Candid Kisses TV with my girl Michelle C. Don't take it personal.
What up, what up, what up, fam? It is your girl Michelle C, and I'm back like I never left with another dope comedian. But before we get started, you know I gotta do it each and every time. I gotta threaten you a little bit. Subscribe now. I'm gonna tell your mama, act like she don't raise you right. And I'm so serious about my subscriptions. You know I gotta get my Aquarius sisters to tell you how I really feel about it.
I don't wanna fuck nobody up.
No, 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 no.
I don't wanna fuck nobody up.
I don't wanna fuck nobody up.
Church announcement for Chris Sneed.
Oh shoot! I like that you did it with your mouth. We ain't got enough money yet to have real sound. We got to get some investors.
We back in here. This internet struggling, but I don't know what's going on. But we in here though.
She's using Wi-Fi from her phone.
You know what? No, I need to use the Wi-Fi on my phone. I'm actually using the hard line, but for whatever reason, they want to act niggified today. But we've been here.
Well, you got all that right, yellow so cord running to your computer?
I don't, but maybe I need to.
Yes. No, we good. We in here.
Okay. So I'm going to get in your business just a little bit. So right. When did you know that the entertainment industry was for you? When did you know you wanted to get into comedy?
Oh man, first of all, as a kid, I just wanted to be on TV as a child. I was a huge Michael Jackson fan as a kid, never went to the house, but I was a huge Michael Jackson fan and I just knew I wanted to be on TV. So my first time doing stand-up, I did it at my job. So I did stand-up at my job. My best friend told me, hey, you should try stand-up. Then I went to the improv, I saw D. Ray. And I wasn't doing comedy then. I just seen D-Ray walk out the show with two women. I said, yeah, I'm about to do comedy. I need two girlfriends. But the two girls ain't it. No, but really it was. So my homeboy told me to get into stand-up. I was taking acting classes for a long time. Chip Fields, if you don't know her, that's Kim Fields' mom. So I was taking acting classes, and I made all the copies that we were working on funny. And she said, you ever thought about doing stand-up? I was like, yeah, I thought about it, but I'm not sure if that's what I want to do. So I end up trying it at the Comedy Union. You know the Comedy Union, Ince Mitchell.
Okay.
Yeah, which ain't going on no more. One of the only black comedy clubs out here in L.A. at one point in time. So I went down there and did an open mic, and I did it. I ended up falling in love with it. And that was the only platform I had to vent and to share my truth was through comedy. So I did it, and 16 years later, I'm still at it. So that's how I got into it.
Now, what you're not going to do is scroll past that you was instructed by Penny Mama. You ain't going to smooth past that real quick. Listen, okay? I'm like, nigga, you done got taught by a legend? You going
to
just...
By a legend. We went to the same church. That's how I met her. Chip Fields.
Yeah, yep. She's a dope actor. And The funny thing is, it's like, that's how you know she's a dope actress, because every role she play, you ain't gonna never forget that damn iron. You hear me?
So, come on now, good times. Yeah.
Man, I'm telling you. And then her DNA is spitting image, because all her kids look just like her. I don't know exactly who the daddy is, but let me tell you something. That daddy ain't got nothing on her face.
Right. Exactly alike. Yep. That was my coach. So anybody watching this know that I'm trained by a professional.
Mm-hmm.
Book me, put me in something. Chip and Seal. Come on now.
Well, you know, Kim producing now. Shoot, did hit up.
Yeah, I did. She didn't respond. She didn't even look at it. I said, me and your mama was tight. I never saw Kim at the church. I just saw Chip and Alexis.
Okay, so then what you need to do, you need to have Kim tell her, because you know you can't go against mama. Like, hey, look, I tried to tell your daughter to put me in some stuff. She left me on red. So come on, Chip, what we doing?
You know what, Michelle? I'm gonna try that. I'm gonna hit up Alexis, the one that's not doing too much. She doing something.
Yeah,
but I'm gonna hit her up and see what happens. And then I'll throw you in something for encouraging me to hit up the daughter.
That's right. Look, closed mouth don't get fed. If you can't go through the front, go through the back.
Come on now. Pause.
Preaching on this Monday. Come on now. Let's move on. Okay. So, you know what? Who inspired you to be a comedian? Because I know you said she was asking you about, so was she your inspiration to comedy, or did you kind of like it and then jump into it?
You know what? I already liked it, to be honest with you. So as a kid, junior high, middle school, you know what I'm saying? I grew up watching Def Comedy Jam. And to say who really inspired me was Cedric the Entertainer, because at the time, that was one of my favorite comedians. I was about 13 years old, so that was one of my favorite comedians. So Ced kind of inspired me to say, you know what? I can do this. I think I want to do this one day. I just never had the balls to do it.
Listen, Cedric has always been one of my top favorite comedians. But let me tell you who, like, he's still in my top, as you know, the OG. But you know, like, done edged up and just kind of scooted him to the side a little bit.
Right.
My nigga, Nate Jackson.
Oh, Nate Jackson.
Listen, I was able to do a whole weekend with Nate Jackson, and I saw him chop up that stage. I said, nigga.
Funny comedy. You was at his comedy club in Tacoma?
No. He came, you know, I'm in Atlanta. So he did Atlanta Comedy Theater, the Underground, and he did a whole weekend. So I was able to do the guest spot for the whole weekend. And when I tell you, that was the most diverse crowd I have ever seen in my life and ever performed in front of. I was, because it was so diverse that he was like, hey, what you eat? Like, for real. And I'm looking like, for real, what is that? Because I ain't never seen a race like that. What is that?
Right.
But it was the dopest weekend. That man
had. They called Nate Jackson the master of crowd work. He came a long way. He dope. Always been funny.
Facts. And because this is what's funny. I found him. I knew about him as a comedian, but I really knew him as acting first. Because I found him about when he was on Big Jaws skits. That's how I found out who he was. Yep. And I was like, it's funny. All right. So it wasn't, I didn't even think, oh, he's a comedian too. Because the first thing I saw him was in skits. So.
Right.
Candid Kisses TV is brought to you by Kissable Lips Cosmetics. You can be kissed without kissable lips. Shop KissableLipsCosmetics.com today for all your beauty needs. Guess what? Candid Kisses TV has merch. That's right. You can find it at artistperiod.com. We have everything you need. We have hoodies. We have coffee mugs. We even have throw pillows and beach towels for the summer. Get it right. Keep it tight. Listen, everything you need to get your drip right, artistperiod.com has it for you. That's artistperiod.com. Get your drip right with artistperiod.com and Candid Kisses TV. Make sure you get it today.
Yeah. Okay. That's now, dope. As a comedian, As a comedian, I know you have to be a dope writer. When did you know you were a dope writer?
When I wrote, okay, I'm going to tell you this story that happened. So, you know, Shawnee O'Neal, Shaq's ex-wife, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so not her. Her sister hit me up and said they were looking for black writers. I was like, oh, for a new project coming up a few years ago. I was like, oh, yeah. She's like, yeah, and I came across you. I think you're funny. I've been following you. We went to church together, too. And see, everything happened through God.
Come on, so, now.
Come on, people. So she DM'd me and said, I said, oh, y'all looking for black writers? I said, I'm a writer. She said, do you have anything you've written, any TV show? I was like, yes, I do. Didn't have nothing, Michelle.
I know.
And I was like, yeah, when you need it. This was on a Friday. She said, I need it by Sunday.
Hmm.
I wrote a whole TV show, 30 pages, a sitcom, in 2 days, and sent it to her.
Let me tell you something. Yeah. The fact that you knew how to do that, because I can write, but it ain't like I can, like, if I knew what I wanted in a TV series, could I get I can give you the shell? Yes. But do I know if it's going to be the right, format? Hell no. I'm just going to
know if it's going to be the right format, because I purchased that little $300 writing program on my MacBook. So I wrote it, sent it in by Sunday.
Wow.
Yep. Never heard from her, but I wrote a whole sitcom.
But now you know you can do it. Whether she picked it up or not, you know you got the skill set now.
Yeah, I got the skill set. My back was against the wall. You'd be surprised what you can do when your back against the wall, though.
Listen, my back against the wall tomorrow, but I'm ready because I got to go to court tomorrow. But look, I done looked through all the paperwork. I'm coming in like I'm Johnny Cochran tomorrow. They ain't ready for me.
Right, you're going to be the best liar you ever been.
But you know what's funny? It's not even that I'm like you know how people, the little creditor people come for you? And there's consumer right laws that protect you from that. And, you know, you can hire somebody, but it's going to cost you more money to hire somebody to get you off of it versus you just looking it up yourself. And when I looked it up, I was like, this is exactly what they're doing. I can use this clause against them. And if that doesn't work, guess what I can do? I can turn around and sue you back. So that's the only reason I'm like, normally you'd be in court, you'd be nervous, because I know I ain't did shit. But I'm just like, you know what? I don't normally want to come in humble at court, but tomorrow I'm coming in on defense. I say, and your honor, according to Consumer Act, right, blah, 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 I'm going to run down my list. And if that shit don't work, I'm going to look at that goddamn attorney and be like, and you will be sued immediately because I'm going right down the hall. And I'm not going to just sue you for the money that you think you're trying to get from me. Nigga, I'm finna go for the whole guap. I'm suing y'all out for $50,000. You hear me?
So they trying to sue you for something that you didn't pay for?
Right. So you know how, like, it's a collection agency.
Okay.
So, but this debt was from 5 years ago. I didn't forget about the damn credit card.
Yeah, you didn't pay them.
But what happens is, people don't tell you this, when you have a debt that's been in collections, the main creditor, they write it off and they get a 1099 and they get their money and then they just sell it to another collection agency.
Okay.
What happens is the collection agency comes after you because basically they just bought the debt. They'd be like, well, I want to get my money, you know, because I just bought this debt. And they might have bought that. Your debt might have been $500 and they bought it for 10 cents. And then they want you to make a payment plan to pay them. But what they don't tell you is, because of course that would work against the system. The consumer right says they don't have the right to come after you to sue you for something if they're not the original creditor. So basically they're falsifying, saying that they're lawyers. And you're like, nigga, when I look up your company, you're not lawyers and you don't represent, you're the successor of them. So which means you just bought their debt, but you're not a lawyer and that works for that company, which means you are fraudulent and you are falsely trying to get money from me, which is illegal according to consumer. Get out of my face.
Oh, come on. This is about to be the best podcast you've ever had after this. See, so you're breaking down knowledge. A lot of us out, a lot of us minorities that owe or quote unquote owe, you know what I'm saying? So who's against the law? After they take on your debt, they cannot come after you talking about you owe X, Y, and Z. Y'all took on the debt.
Let me tell you something. And the judge is, you know, you would think the judge trying to help you. No, the judge is against, because they a lawyer too. They trying to help their buddy. They going to try to side with them. They hoping you're going to be ignorant and just be like, okay, well, you can give me a judgment. Nigga, judge not. I wish you would try to give me a judgment and see I ain't finna sue the fuck out y'all.
What? No. Oh, case closed. There it is.
Try it. And I'm look, I, yes. like whether whatever happens tomorrow, whether they take my side or whatever the case may be, I am suing you. So at least I feel good in that. Right. No matter what happens. So for anybody that's listening, look up your consumer rights. It's a I'm gonna post it in the thing after I edit it because there's an actual it's a you know a code like 169 Act, blah blah blah. But look it up and that listen, that's the one. That's all you need.
Consumer rights. Come on now.
And after, don't let that judge call you a debtor. No, I'm not a debtor. I'm a consumer.
You're a consumer.
Words make a difference. Because if you say, no, I am a consumer. Prime example, when we do this comedy thing and people are hitting you up about, you know, getting a deposit for headlining or whatever. You know what I'm saying? You want a deposit. You said my retainer fee. A lawyer taught me that. Because that retainer fee. That means you're just retaining my time on my calendar. And it's a non-refundable retainer. So if something happens, the show cancels or whatever, guess what you ain't getting back? And what you can't get back is that retainer because a deposit, and it implies that you will give it back. A retainer says, no, you're retaining my time.
Yep.
Y'all better write that down, retainer.
No, write that down. Write all them comedians out there, retainer fee.
Listen, okay. Come on,
man. You speaking some real shit right now.
Look, when you don't been through some shit, you find out the loopholes.
Come on, right.
So we are moving on. Okay. What was one of the most memorable times you had on stage?
I would say the time my belt buckle broke and my pants was coming down. And I had a sequence of jokes I was going to do. I had my first joke, my second joke, and my closer. I was so damn nervous. I did my closer first. And I ran out of material. And shout out to Rodney Perry for making it happen. I did the Comedy Union on a Friday night, which was one of the most popular nights in L.A. KTLA was there. Everybody there. Rodney Perry got me on stage. And right before I got up, he tapped me on the shoulder. He said, Sneed, don't fuck this up. Now, why would you tell me that?
Okay,
what I did when I got on stage. Fucked everything up. So I did my last joke first, start making up the rest of my set. My belt buckle broke. My pants wouldn't stay up. And that probably the most memorable night I ever had in comedy. Bombed. Horrible.
Oh, God. Comedy. So your pants didn't fall off, though, did they? Because that would have been even worse.
My pants didn't fall off. I probably got standing ovation for that. But my pants, my pants stayed on.
You know what? Let me ask you this. Like, because everybody's bomb is different. Did you feel like it was a bomb because you misplaced your jokes or did they just stare at you looking stupid?
I felt like it was a bomb because I wasn't being honest. I was just coming up with something. I'm talking about being married. I wasn't married. I was talking about having, me and my four kids. I had one son. So I didn't even believe what I was saying. So I knew they didn't.
Right.
So I was just making up shit. Trying to get myself out of this hole while holding my pants up, making sure they didn't fall. Yeah, fuck the whole setup.
You know what? One of them. Nigga, I thought you was hurt. Oh, I thought you was hurt.
Nigga, I was hurt. Crash.
Did you go immediately home or did you kind of linger around?
I lingered around. But I was like off by myself. And I didn't want to be no little punk about it. So I was off to myself. I come back up. Yeah, man. Shit, man. Crazy little set tonight. You know what happened. They're like, nah. And that's what Rodney said. Nigga, you got four kids? I'm like, nah. He said, well, you married? I said, no. He said, well, why did you say that? I said, because I didn't know how to dig myself out this hole. So I was coming up with shit that I thought, that they thought was funny.
Right.
And none of it worked.
Yeah, because you ain't had no confidence in the lie.
At all.
You got to be confident about your lie.
You got to be confident about your lie. I wasn't confident at all, Michelle. I didn't believe none of that shit I was saying. I wasn't confident in none of it. These niggas was looking at me like, huh?
But look, no have you been in a situation where, I mean, obviously that was not a good one, but like, because a lot of people look at bombs differently. Some people's like, oh, well, you know, they were too quiet, so that's a bomb. And then sometimes people, they say, I don't know if it's true, they say if the audience is quiet, it's not that you're bombing, they're actually listening. You got them tuned in. And I'm like, I don't know, because I'm like, now, you know, please, I don't want a bomb. But right. I think the time that I felt like it was a bomb is because it was an audience that they were just staring at me. No, nobody had a smile on their face or nothing. They were just staring at me. So when it got time to get finished, you know, normally I'm like, all right, well, y'all been an amazing audience or whatever, but they weren't amazing because they were just staring at me. So I was just like, you know, y'all have been amazingly quiet. I holler at y'all, but I felt so like, what is wrong with y'all? Like, do I have to tickle you? Like, what's going on? And then Steve Brown came in, he was like, listen, he said, don't ever address the elephant in the room when it's like that. He was like, because regardless of how you felt you did, if you wouldn't have said that, it would have been, you know, you would have been fine. And I was just like, so the key is, fuck them. And ever since then, I'd be like, fuck them. And I don't even care no more whether y'all laugh or not. Fuck you. I'm out. I don't say that, of course.
Let me ask you something. What's a bomb to you? What do you think a bomb is?
Bomb to me is literally someone staring at me and not cracking a smile. So I'm just like, are you paying attention? Or but then I start rethinking about it because, prime example, I'm known for resting bitch face. And a lot of time, oh, Michelle, I thought you was mean. And I'm like, why? It's because you be over to the side by yourself and you just be chilling. And I'm like, exactly, I be chilling. Why do you think I'm mean? And they're just like, because the expression on your face. 90% of the time, whatever that expression is, I'm probably thinking about bills or some shit. I'm not thinking about you looking at me. I'm like, I got so much going on in my mind. I'm not focused on people staring at me. So then when I thought about it like that, I'm like, when I'm looking at an audience and maybe if they're not smiling, whatever, like maybe they just got bills or they got shit going on. Maybe. And so I don't think about it like that no more. But I used to think about it. If you're just staring at me, you don't fuck with me.
I mean, well, the whole point is for them to be laughing, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. So if they staring at you and not cracking a smile, a giggle, a chuckle, nothing,
yeah,
they're not fucking with you.
Right. But see, this is what I learned to protect my spirit.
Okay.
If you don't fuck with me, I don't fuck with you either. So I don't care. One thing Rodney Perry told me, he said, when you were like, because you know, when you newer, because I'm newer in the comedy game, I've been behind the scenes of it for years, but I'm like 3 years in. So what happens is he was like, pick somebody in the audience to talk to. And I was like, that helped a lot because normally you have to learn the difference when you're new in the game. Am I talking to them or am I talking at them? You know what I'm saying? And when I started, I was talking at them. I was just like, hey, this one, whatever. But now I'm just like, fuck it. Hey, sis, let me tell you something. And so if I can pick somebody and, you know, when I feel like it's kind of not going how I feel like it should go, as soon as I pick somebody to talk to, I'm smooth sailing again. What, like, I don't know what y'all got going over there, but this bitch is listening to me. You know what I'm saying? So
that keep your confidence?
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because I mean, like I had, you know how you have days where you're doing the whole weekend, and like Friday, I just had two shows or whatever. The first show, niggas was hollering. They were, oh, it was so funny. Second show, they was like, ha-ha, ha-ha. I'm like, nigga, do I have to press play every time I want? What's going on? But it's different audiences. So I just
different, like, every show is different.
Exactly. So I'm just like, if I gave a fuck, my feelings would be hurt. So I just learned to not give a fuck no more. I mean, still do your job, but don't give a fuck whether they like it or not. Because I'm just, when I go on stage, I'm not making up shit. I'm talking about what the fuck I'm going through. And ain't nobody beat me better than me.
Well, you got to be honest. You got to be honest with yourself.
Listen, I'm trying to tell you.
Yeah.
Oh, who is your favorite person to make laugh that you know personally?
My favorite person to make laugh. Let me see. I gotta think about that one that I know personally. Shit.
Damn. Uh-oh.
That I know personally, my favorite person. You know what? I make everybody laugh. You know what I'm saying? It ain't nobody that I know personally that ain't laughed at, you know what I'm saying, at me. Nobody. What? Let me think about it. Nope. Ain't nobody ain't laughing. Well, you know, let me say this. Let me say my mama shit.
Okay.
I go with Miss Margaret.
I know that's right.
Yeah. That's probably my favorite person. Yeah, I make laugh. She hard to make laugh too.
Oh,
so,
yeah,
I know what I make. I made her laugh. I bought her a coat, a pea coat, this past Christmas. It was too small. I got it for like $6. at the store. She put it on and kind of tore a little bit under the arms. I posted it on my social media too. Margaret cussed me out. Where the hell you get this goddamn Pico from downtown? I'm like, nah, take this shit back. I was like, you don't have a receipt. Went in the bathroom. She looked at it again. Her arms got stuck, and then she put her hands up. It pissed her off. But I had her laughing off that Pico, though. The Pico stopped at, like, at her waist. It was supposed to be long. I thought it was going to come down to her knees. You know, one of them long Picos for the winter. It stopped at her waist, the little thing to tie around your stomach. Pico from
Timu?
From Timu?
She was sick of your ass, so I'm trying to tell you.
I got a Pico from a store that say no exchanges, no receipts, but you can't bring it back. You niggas asked me if I still wanted a receipt. I was like, what's the point of the receipt? I can't exchange it to bring it back.
Man.
Oh, yeah, pissed her off.
What Singer do?
Hey, what Singer do?
Hey, yo, what Singer do?
What Singer do? Hey, cuz. What Singer do, cuz?
Singer do is a music game that all can play. All you have to do is sing the melody of the song on the card using only the word do.
Do. Same genre. Do.
What?
Do. Do, 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 do.
Kick off my shoes and relax my feet, get tickets.
Do, 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 do. You got your family, and they need you there. But I try to resist being last on your list, but no other girl's gonna do.
Order your copy today at singadoo.com.
But we laughed about that all Christmas.
It sounded like Margaret got a little bit of Linda in her, because my mama is the most ridiculous, hilarious. Like, she one of them people that she would pray for you and cuss you out 2 seconds later.
Mm-hmm. That's Margaret. Yeah.
She one of them.
Yep.
Listen, they from that old. Let me tell you something. The funniest thing, well, my mama do a lot of stupid shit. Because a lot of times I be doing sets about her. She's like, why you don't ever invite me to a show? I'm like, because I don't want to hear no smoke when I get off the stage. Because 90% of my shit be about you. you know how people be fussing about taking the trash out and dump stuff. And I was just telling about some old stuff. I was like, man, mama used to get on my nerves that, you know, take out the trash or whatever. Like, that ain't my job. That ain't my ministry. Because I have an older brother. And normally taking out the trash was his job. So then when it got to the point, because we're 8 years apart, when I'm there younger, she was like, why you ain't taking out trash? Nigga, that has never been my job. What is wrong with you? So we were fussing about out of town. I was like, I told her one day, I was like, that ain't my ministry. Well, bitches, wash your ass, your ministry, because goddamn it, you're going to do some damn chores around here. I'm just like, you know what? She always got something ignorant to say.
You take out the trash now, though.
Hold on.
You married?
No.
Who take out the trash?
This is the point, though. This is the point I'm making. It ain't about the trash. It's just more so when you good and grown, you take out that trash when you get good and goddamn ready. You don't, it's not like a, you know what I'm saying? Like, when you've been on your own for 15, 20 years, it's just like, real talk. When you got on your own, got your own house or whatever, did you do half of the stuff that your parents made you do when you got in your home?
Me, personally? Yeah. I tell you this. Yes, I did. I'm I don't know if I got PTSD or whatever, but I'm a real tidy, clean person. Now, I didn't do the shit at her house that she wanted me to do, but once I got my own, all the stuff she wanted me to do at her house, I did it at my own spot. Chris, get your ass up, clean up that kitchen, wash them dishes. I don't want to see a dish in there.
Okay,
I would take my time at her house, but when I finally got my own stuff, I can't see a dish in the sink at all. Now,
there are certain things that I did carry to my home, like, you know, I wouldn't have no dishes in the sink. I wouldn't like certain stuff, but I ain't gonna lie. Like I said, the trash was not my thing. It has not been programmed in my mind to take out trash. So, like, when it came to the trash, I will pull it up and take it out, but it'll sit in the garage until it's trash time. Because I'm not going to go and put it in, like, nigga, it'll get there. As long as it don't stink, I'll take it to the trash when I get to it. It's never going to be down. So that's what, like, because you know how your parents give you that, like you said, the PTSD, if you don't do it now, you're going to get your ass whooped. I'm like, nigga, I'm paying all these bills. Fuck that trash. I'm going to take that shit out when I get good and goddamn ready. So yeah, it's certain things I would be like, nope, that trash gonna get whenever I get ready. I fuck it.
Now what I didn't do is keep my credit A1 like she put in me when I first got out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I ain't give a fuck about them bills.
My credit was A1 until you know you start messing with family and they be like, let me put you on my guarantee. And that's the only thing that messed my little shit up. But I'm like, I done got it back together now, but I feel you on that.
Oh yeah, you can't mess with family and we'll cut the credit now. No, them the worst ones.
You live, you learn, because I boy, listen.
Right.
So what's one challenge that you had to face in the industry and how did you overcome it?
Let's see. When social media first came up, you know, when Instagram was popping, and then a lot of my close comedian friends start linking up and getting these clicks.
Mm-hmm.
That was a little challenge that I faced because I saw a lot of my colleagues in comedy going like this
mm-hmm.
while I was still here, right? So I felt like because we were tight, we was friends, and we started the game together, all their success and what they was doing, I'm like, damn, y'all didn't come back and put me on nothing? Right. You know what I'm saying? Like, I thought we was cool. So I start looking at other niggas' careers thinking that mine was supposed to go the way they went. And if it didn't, y'all niggas supposed to put me on y'all stuff. But I realized in this game, it's not like that. So what I start doing is just, you know what? Focus on me and what God has for me is for me. I got a lot of friends who's doing a lot of shit. You know what I'm saying? Putting out movies, shooting specials. You know what I'm mm-hmm. saying? And I used to feel like, why y'all didn't have me come? Y'all on the road. Why y'all ain't got me featuring for you? So that was a challenge. So comedians, watching this, just know that your success and your path that God has for you is for you. You can't look at what the mother niggas is doing and how successful they are. And I got some close friends that's really moving. These niggas don't put me on nothing.
But let me ask you.
That's not their obligation either.
True. But let me ask you this. Have you ever asked or did you just sit back and wonder why?
Man, I didn't ask, and niggas have told me, yeah, I got you, and I ain't never heard from
them. Okay, because, I mean, sometimes people just be scared to ask, you know, so I'll be like, nah, I'm going to ask, and the worst you can say is no. If you say no, fine, I'm going to ask somebody else, you know what I'm saying? Right. So I feel what you're saying, because I literally just had a conversation with a comedian that I consider we cool, and, you know, we had a big show, put a whole bunch of people on, and I was like, what the fuck, why you ain't hit me up? Considering, because I thought we was cool or whatever the case may be, and I've told you, I asked you several times before a show date, you know, what's up with the spot. Dude was like, oh, I ain't picked nobody yet. And the last time I asked him, it was like 2 days later, the whole lineup was done. I said, but okay. So normally I would just, you know, let it go, which I did, because it's not that big of a deal. But I was just like, but nah, this time I need answers. Why did that happen? You know, we had the conversation when he explained what was going on. I was like, okay, cool. Now, whether he told me the truth or not, I don't know. But at least I was bold enough to say, okay, I'm going to ask you this time because I'm not going to allow this to keep happening. And people think they can just tell me some bullshit and think it's all good. So I'm just like, okay. And even if he did give me bullshit, that's fine. But at least he know I'm going to ask. And so next time you see me, all right, nigga, I need to, let me just tell her up front. Because like the worst thing you can do to me is lie. Like I can accept a lot of stuff, but don't lie to me, because it's like the lie, once I find out you lie, that hurts worse.
Right.
Just
tell me no. Tell me you can't do it.
That's what I'm saying. Like if I ask you, hey Chris, can I be in your show? And you'd be like, nah, I got my show booked up today. All right, cool. I'm not mad at the no. I would be more mad that if you like, yeah, I got you, and then I pull up and then you'd be like, oh, we'll see what. No, nigga, don't explain. You could have just told me no. Right. You know what I'm saying?
Michelle had a nigga say, when I'm available, hey, what day is you available? Gave my day. Okay, cool. I got you on this day. Never heard from him. Nigga book somebody else. But I've learned dealing with people.
Facts.
I know this. Nobody owed me a damn thing. You know what I'm saying? I do. Oh, show me some respect, of course. We're going to respect each other. But now you don't owe me nothing. And I'm what you want. Nigga, if you ain't going to do it, just tell me no. But don't come to me and ask me some dates. And I tell you what, I'm available. And you be like, okay. And then that be it. You got another nigga on the show.
That part.
Yeah, I don't get butthurt by somebody not putting me on something. I don't care because I'm going to work regardless. But it's just that, I don't know, man. Just don't be telling me you're going to do something for me or whatever. And then that be it. So I'm with you on.
And let me tell you something. I had to learn the hard way because I used to tell, like, my mom is very sensitive and she would be fussing about something that was happening to something. And I'd be like, Mommy, you got to realize everybody ain't got the same heart as you. And as I'm telling her that now in this comedy career, I'm just like, shit, I need to take my own advice.
Come on now.
So it'll be great.
Yep.
We are moving on. Okay. Name one entrepreneur you admire and why.
Let's see. I admire Kevin Hart. What he doing?
Facts.
From clothing line to vegan restaurant to podcast to the LOL network. I'm like, I admire that. That's dope. And I mean, because the nigga never stopped working.
You ain't lying.
Never stop working. Never stop promoting. You know, sometimes I see a lot of comics. Man, I ain't posting. I'm doing this. Man, I ain't trying to get people to come out.
You're like, job. That,
for a guy to be at that caliber and still move like I'm still trying to get it, I admire that. You know what I'm saying? Because it's easy to get lazy.
Facts.
I've seen a lot of comics that's on and got Netflix specials. And ain't really writing nothing new. And these specials are starting to look the same. You know what I'm saying? Because they done got lazy. They done got some money. Now they done got lazy, so they're not putting the work in. Yes. So I admire Kevin Hart, man. Still doing what he doing and acting like he just got in the game.
I know that's right. You know what? Let me ask you something. Especially when you just said writing something new, right? When you started in comedy... Because, you know, when you're starting, you want to make sure you smash every stage and you hitting it every time. When did you, because I hear so many different things where they say, well, you know, you want to master that one set. So, change it up and add this to it, whatever, and just stay on that one set. When did you feel comfortable enough to, you know, drift from the script and start doing other stuff? Because I got, like, pages of stuff that I could do that are new stuff. But it's like, what if you're going doing guest spots or if you're going to showcase, you have to hit them with your hardest shit. So when do you feel comfortable enough to try the new shit?
When I realized I wasn't afraid to fail. I'm not afraid to not get a laugh. Once I got to that point, I was like, it don't matter. I've been on shows, sold out shows, and said something that I've never said before. Or that I've only worked out once or twice. You understand what I'm saying? But I still had the confidence to say, listen, I'm going to say this. I'm going to use this punchline. If it don't work, I know where I can go back to. But you got to get to the point where you're comfortable with you. You know what I'm saying? I've done so many shows, I've proven my funny already. So, you know, I go up there and do something new that I never said before. Because I'm okay with the silence now. I'm okay if I don't get them the first time I say it. I'm okay with it. But it take a lot of confidence and a lot of stage you hitting a lot of stages to get to that point. So I'm okay.
What year was that for you? Year one? Year one.
My 10th year. I mean, it took 10 years to feel that way. Yeah, 10 years.
Because you know what? I feel you. I feel the confidence is not what's lacking. It's the not having enough time to do it. You know what I mean? Because people like, well, like, you know, I see that set getting better, but, you know, when you going to try the other stuff I heard you say? And I'm just like, but nigga, if you only get 5 minutes, how you going to try it?
Yeah, that's hard. You know what I'm saying? That's hard.
So that's why I was just like, you know what? I'm going to start, because I used to do my own shows. I was like, I'm going to have to just start doing my own shows again so then I can just flush out shit, because it's like, I know it's funny, but you know, when you got sold, like you're opening for sold out shows, it's just like, I ain't gonna try no new shit on this sold out show. You crazy hell.
Right. I'm gonna do what work in front of this paid audience.
That part.
Yeah.
But we were just talking about the other day, like, we can't do shit. So, but
yeah, if you get 15 minutes, you can throw some new stuff in the middle You can get them going at first and then throw that new stuff in the middle. And if it don't hit, you know, you can come back to what you know that's going to work. But I work on my new stuff on paid gigs. Like, I do a lot of private shows. Yeah, so if I get to a birthday party or something, I'm going to throw it in there.
Not
at a comedy club. I'll be at a house, at a hall. I'm going to work out my new material on this private gig I just booked.
Now, let me tell you something. Like you said, the little private gigs, I don't mind working it out there. But it's like anytime, like in the only time, and like on open mics, right? Like, that's the best time to try it. I'm like, is it though? Because there be a lot of comics out there and them niggas be stealing. So.
Niggas are still, even if you put it on social media. So we can't, ain't nothing we can do about that.
This is true. Well,
We can't.
I never understood when people say you can't copyright a joke. You can, but it's just like, but what's the point?
Right. So don't worry about the open mic, Michelle. If a nigga gonna steal your stuff, they gonna steal it. Nigga gonna steal something you said off this podcast. If they wanna steal it, make it a sketch or whatever. So we can't worry about that. I've got jokes, quote unquote, stolen from me. You know, they probably don't feel like they stole it. The same thing happened to me. Nothing we can do about it no more.
Let me ask you this before you move on. Are you a snitch when it comes to comedy stealing? Meaning, like, if you sat there in a comedy room and you saw somebody do one of your homeboys' joke and you know that's their joke, you snitching? Are you just going to be like, oh, well.
Yeah, I'm going to tell my homeboy. Yeah, I'm going to tell him.
Okay. Because I be feeling bad when I be seeing niggas. I'm like, that nigga, no. And then this will make it so fucked up. I saw this nigga steal one of my homeboys' joke. And he only stole it because the nigga was out of town. I was like, wow, you know this nigga touring right now. Come on, cuz.
Oh, yeah. But I'll say something to the nigga that stole it. Hey, yo, bro, you know Dwayne Johnson do the same shit. Just like you, bro. You know him? He got the same exact joke. I tell that dude, too. My homie got the same joke as you.
Okay, so you kind of just like, I'm going to put it out there, nigga. I know what you're doing.
Yeah, I'm just saying it. Right. Yeah, now I don't know if you've seen them before, but I'm just gonna let you know that Michelle C got the same joke that I just heard you say. That's it.
Let me tell you what, I was in the green room one time. I ain't gonna say the name because these are very popular people, but let me tell you something. It was a show I was on, and the feature ended up apparently saying one of the headliner's jokes. So he pulled him to the side. He was like, hey, when you say this part right here, just, you know, I got a joke like that. So, you know, don't say that on the second show. And I thought that was very diplomatic how he handled it. I was like, oh, that was cool. Yeah. So I was like, oh, that's cool. So the feature was just like, oh, nah, man, that's my shit. I've been doing that for about 20 years, you know, for 20 years or whatever, trying to act like it was his. He was like, yeah, well, don't do it no more. So the next show, the headliner was like, hey, can I use your tripod real quick? I was like, yeah. So he goes out there to set up a tripod. When the feature gets ready to come off stage, well, before he gets off of stage, we're in the back of the green room, and you know, we're watching it on TV. So we're all talking about, he's like, yeah, I can't believe that nigga stole my joke, and then he's gonna try to act like it wasn't none of his, and they talk about it or whatever. So while he's fussing about that, he hears him on the TV. He was like, wait a minute, y'all shut up. Did that nigga just steal another one of my jokes? And I looked at the headliner. I said, yo, he did exactly what you wanted him to do. He was like, what you mean? I said, you told him not to do that other joke. You didn't tell him not to steal the rest of your shit. He followed instructions. he said, get your ass out of here. So it was so funny because then when
he said another joke of his.
Yes. And he looked at me, the headliner looked at me and said, he was like, at this point, he's a fan. I was like, well, obviously, but you know what I'm saying?
And you can't say his name. You can't keep it Cat Williams.
Oh, no, I'm not. I am a baby in this industry. I ain't got time to be spilling tea. Now, I'll tell you offline, but I ain't going to tell you on the streets. But yeah, when the feature came down, the headliner was holding it like in my little tripod and he was fixing it. So when the feature came down, he went to go talk to him. Like, you know, how was that? Man, he played it off like he ain't see him or whatever. Then the feature comes straight to me. Hey, Michelle, how was that? I was like, how was what? He was like, myself. I was like, nigga, I don't know. I'm not paying attention. And he was just like, man, you supposed to be paying attention. I was like, nah, nigga, you just played yourself because, oh boy, ain't fuck with you right now. You trying to come to me like you need it. I am 3 years in, nigga. You don't give a fuck what I think about your set. Go sit down. Like, come on.
Well, but you can't do that 3 years in.
You know what's so funny? The person that I'm talking about right now, That's the one that just stole the other person's joke that was on out of time. I said, so at this point, you a known joke thief. He even touched, like, he did like a little spot in front of mine because before I did my guest spot, and he even touched into some of my set. I was like, oh yeah, this nigga be stealing. Okay. Now I know how to get stay away from you.
You gonna go far. You gonna make it.
Oh, really? Okay.
You gonna go far in the game.
Yeah, if you don't get the ass kick.
That ain't stopping niggas that just moved to another city.
I mean, I ain't gonna lie, he's been in the game for a minute. So I don't know how far that means, but he's been in the game for a minute. So anyway.
I don't respect it. So, but they out here doing it. So
yep. What are some words of wisdom you would give any upcoming entertainer or entrepreneur?
Worry about yourself. Understand your talent has a little bit to do with making it. It's not about your talent at all, but it's about building relationships and being likable and staying solid. Building relationships and being likable will get you further than your talent. Your talent is only 30% when it comes to making it in this business. Being likable. You can be absolutely non-talented, non-funny, but likable and have a relationship with somebody, and they will put you on because you're solid and you ain't in no bullshit and you ain't stealing.
Right.
So, you know what I'm saying? Just build your relationships and be cool, man, while you're working on your craft, and people will give you an opportunity because they like you.
Facts. That's what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. Words to live by. Well, now yep. We are ready to get into the fun segments of the show. Our first one is kiss or diss. You decide who you kiss and who you diss in between the celebrity crushes. All right. First one, Regina Hall or Taraji P. Henson. Who you kiss and who you dissing?
I'm going to kiss Regina.
Okay.
And diss Taraji. Even though I like Taraji, I want to kiss them both, but I'm going to kiss Regina if I had to pick one.
Why? Because she funny?
She funny. And I just like her whole, I just like everything about her. Her little spirit and everything. Beautiful. But I mean, Taraji beautiful too. Yeah. But that's a hard choice.
This is true. You know, yeah. They're kind of funny to me. I feel like they should be cousins or something.
Yeah, yeah. They same complexion, little brown skin. And yeah, and Taraji funny too.
Oh yeah, facts. Yeah.
But Taraji seemed like, you know what I'm saying, y'all get into it, she'll fuck you up. I see that baby boy shit have stuck in me.
You're like, stop cheating on me, Jody. Like, right. All right. We moving on. Beyonce or Meg Thee Stallion? Who you kissing, who you dissing?
I'm gonna kiss Beyonce. Meg Thee Stallion, dope, but I gotta kiss Beyonce. The reason is because I like her style. She seemed like she smelled good all the time. You know what I'm saying? I just saw Meg Thee Stallion in that Planet Fitness commercial. I don't know. And then I ain't like her beef with Nicki Minaj either.
Wait a minute. So because Meg go to the gym, you think she's musty all the time? I don't understand.
Yep, it got me. She got me. I saw that Planet. It messed me up. Beyonce be working out with 20 people behind her.
Okay. All right. Louise Jefferson. Or Shirley from What's Happening? Who you kissing, who you dissing?
I'm going to go with Shirley from What's Happening. We got the same kind of hairstyle. She's been wearing a sponge here since the early 80s.
Facts.
I'm going with Shirley.
All right. We are moving on to DAQs. That stands for Dumbass Questions. They're just random fun questions I want answers to. What was the worst job you've ever had?
Oh, I used to hold a sign. What are them signs for taxes? Get your taxes done here.
Oh, hell no.
In the summer. And they fired me from that because I had the arrow pointing to another business. So
you couldn't even hold the sign right?
I didn't even hold the sign right. I wouldn't want them niggas that spin the sign and spin it and all that. I didn't want to do that job anyway. $14 an hour. I was down on my luck. That was the dumbest job I had. Hold a damn sign in the middle of the summer in LA, 95 degrees outside. I was close to it. They was having a little brush fires at the time, so it was really hot. Yeah, I had the sign pointing to a...
Why did you pick that job?
I didn't pick it. It was a, one of them temp jobs. So I go in the morning and see what they have for me. It's like, only thing we got is the sign holder. Can you do that? And it used to be a pool of names. I was the only nigga in the pool, and everybody passed up on the sign job. So I'm like, fuck it, I'll do it. Right. And niggas let me go because I had the arrow point to the Starbucks, and it was supposed to be a furniture shop.
So you couldn't, direction was just not, how you fuck up the direction? It's a sign. You didn't point to the shop.
Membership.
He like, you really didn't give a damn. He like, just give me the check. Nigga, you probably
had to pay the head. I didn't even get the full 16 an hour. I did 30 minutes. It was $8.
Nigga, you okay, listen. I thought I was bad. I done quit a job because I couldn't find a parking space. So I feel you.
You couldn't find a parking space?
Yes. I left immediately. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It was at the airport. Like, you know, the airport, they'd be like, you got to go in the parking lot seat.
Yeah, then they take you in the shuttle, and then they take you to the rest of the...
I didn't feel like figuring it out.
You quit. These niggas let me go.
No, I didn't quit. I just didn't... Well, quitting means like you went and told them, I no longer want to work here.
You no call, no show.
Yeah, so kind of. What happened was...
And then went home and had to look for a parking spot at your spot.
So look, what happened was the first day I was looking for the parking lot fee. And I'm looking all over and I cannot find it to save my life. And I didn't want to be late. So I was like, fuck it, I'll just park here. So I park there. I go to work the whole day. When I leave that day, as I'm parking, like pulling out the parking lot, he was like, that'll be $5. I was like, I don't have it. And he was like, well, you need to find it because it's $5. I said, sir, this is my first day. I cannot find parking lot. See, I don't know where it's at, and I don't have $5. And he was like, well, you got to figure out something. I say, so you think I'm going to call somebody from my house to come down here to give me $5? I was like, I'm not lying to you. Look, I can check the dashboard. But I don't have $5 to give you, sir. I don't. So he was just like, all right, I'm going to let you go this time, but don't park here tomorrow. I was like, all right, bet. So I made a vow to myself when I get, you know, to work the next day, I'm going to get up extra early. I'm going to make sure I find this parking lot. I drove around that damn spot for an hour and still cannot find a parking spot. I called and I said, hey, I had a problem getting out of parking yesterday. Nigga was mad because I ain't had a $5. I'm here and I've been here, but I can't find the parking lot. You're telling me to, locate so I can come in the job. And they said, okay, well, just park anywhere and we'll pay you once you get in here. And I was so frustrated that I was looking for an hour. I was like, all right, cool. And I just went home.
Was this LAX?
Huh?
Was this out here, LAX in LA?
No, this is Atlanta Hartsfield Airport.
Oh, okay.
So I was like, yeah, I done drove around an hour. I'm going home. I think I was like 16 at the time. I came home. My mom was like, oh, they let you off early. I was like, oh, no, I quit. She was like, you started yesterday. And I said, and I quit today. So fuck it. Anyway, if you could crip walk on anyone in your past that you know personally with no consequences, who would it be?
If I could crip walk, I crip walk on my second baby mama, yeah, damn. All on her face. Nigga, don't act like a bitch.
Hey, we don't condone violence on this show, but I feel you, sir. Sometimes
you didn't say hit her or nothing. And I'm crip walking with spikes on my boots. You know the boots that they wear when they climb the cable pole? Yeah, I'm doing that.
You know how they had them posts on social media? Would you smack your ex for $15 million? Nigga, immediately.
Hey, Michelle, my left foot gonna crip walk on my baby mama, and then my right foot gonna crip walk on my brother. So I got two faces.
Lord. All right. I got one. Oh, what's one embarrassing moment from your childhood that you're willing to share?
I think when I slapped this girl.
Oh, you said it. Violence. You be whooping people's ass.
Hold on. Let me tell you how old I was. No. Put me out there. Like, I was 11.
Okay.
So what happened was, the little Latino girl, we in the classroom, I'm taking a test, right? And I'm taking the test, and I'm thinking, and I'm talking to myself, okay, if I carried it, and she's like, come on, shh, you're too loud. Shut up. I was like, hey, come on, man, don't tell me to shut up. Right. And I'm saying what I'm saying. She told me to shut up again. I was like, you know what? Make me. And she came over there, slapped the dog shit up out of me. Mm. She slapped me. And when she did that, I just slapped her right back with my backhand. That's the only way. I was 11, 12 years old. I was in middle school. Yep. That was an embarrassing moment because when I slapped her, my slap was a little different. She had the little thing to go over her head that flew off. You know, the keep your hair back, that thing flew off.
The hairband.
Right. Mm. And by the time the teacher saw my slap first.
Of course.
Yeah. So it was a little
bit. You were like, this is reputation with me.
I don't just be hitting women now. But I slap a kid. No.
Oh yeah, I fuck a kid up. Kids, fuck them. But let me tell you something. When you were young, you know how your parents be like, y'all, you were so sweet as a baby until you got older, whatever. I told my people, I said, you know, life happens when you get out in these streets. Because when you're a child, you with your cousins, you with your family or whatever, and everybody's being kind and sweet to you. But as soon as you go to daycare or elementary, them niggas ain't raised like you. So you got to fight because these niggas will come and snatch your shit. Boy, listen, I was a fighter, but it wasn't like, I wasn't, because people like, you was a bully. No, I wasn't. If you started with me, I would finish it. I would never start, but if you start, I'm going to fuck you up.
Right.
So
that's the only time you get a pass. The only time you get a pass to hit somebody or be disrespectful is when you're small, 1, 2, 3 years old, you get a pass. And when you get old, when you're in your 90s. Because when you're older, ain't nobody going to really do nothing. I can't wait. When I'm 90 years old, I'm going to disrespect everybody. Call you out your name. Put my hand, because you ain't going to do nothing to no 93-year-old. You know what I'm saying? Would you beat up a 93-year-old woman and she calls you, hey, bitch, shut your dumb ass up. Would you hit her? She's 93. Michelle, would you beat up a 93-year-old?
I might. Cause, nigga, you old enough to know better, bitch. You've been here long. You've been here a couple of decades. You know,
93 is handicapped in a walker, can't drive.
Now, you add extra sauce to it, nigga. You can't add the extra sauce. You said the bitch was old. You just add the extra sauce. Like, nigga, I would knock the Blue Cross Blue shit out of the bitch. I don't give a fuck. Don't be talking to me crazy.
Damn, you a fighter for real.
Listen,
my mama was with me.
I don't fuck with people, so it's just like, if I'm not bothering you, don't bother me. But if you start, nigga, I'm definitely going to finish. Now, 93? Because, listen, if she's that older, I might not punch her, but I might smother the fuck out of her. I'll get a pillow or something. You know, she'll leave peacefully, but she gonna leave. So, I'm just saying.
Damn, you cold.
All right, we got, if you could create a lame superhero, what would their name be, and what would be their lame superpower?
Let me see. Lame superhero. That's funny. Okay, if I could, what would their name be and what would be their superpower? The corny dude. That's what his name would be. The corny dude. And what his superpower would be is the corny dude that dye his beard. He's an old nigga, but he dye everything. He old, like the 80 years old, but he's still trying to dress like he in his 20s. And it'd be that nigga, the corny dude, got 3 or 4 chains on. The nigga got braids, cornrows still, because I see a lot of them dudes. Nigga, you're 83 and you're still trying to be young, messing with these young women. It'd be that nigga. And his superpower would be he could take all the old niggas and dye their hair black, give them cornrows, big ass chains. But it'd be that fake jewelry with the fake diamonds in there.
Okay.
He's still going to the club, still hollering at the young hoes. It'd be that nigga. Because I see a lot of those niggas all the time.
Facts.
They so corny and lame. Nigga, lead this 25-year-old. Now, Al Pacino, 80. I'm not saying a rich nigga that's going to take a young chick, get her pregnant, and take care of her life. I'm talking about these young niggas that ain't got nothing still.
That part. And look, they spend their mama basement. Be like, nigga, you going to ever leave me?
Those niggas. The corny dude.
Okay. So, all right. Name three items you would purchase to make a cashier feel uncomfortable.
Plan B.
Okay.
Some tampons and some what was that? The vaginal itch cream.
Oh, okay. You just all kinds of okay. And
so she had to get rid of the baby.
Uh-huh.
And she was bleeding.
Right.
And the coochie was irritated.
So you was very methodical and structured with your answer. Okay. Gotcha.
Yeah, I was.
We are moving on to CMG. That stands for What Grinds Your Gangster? Name one of your pet peeves.
Oh, man. When a woman says Grand Rising King. Can't stand it. That's one of my pet peeves. Uh-oh. I can't stand it.
Listen,
because that's the with the locks and the dreads and just want to tell me what I'm not eating right and the oils I should be putting on me. Grand Rising King. I can't stand that. I'm not your
listen.
King.
I hate that. Like I got Grand Rising King. You said what?
GRK. And don't abbreviate it too. I'm really mad.
I hate that. Like the Grand Rising Queen. I hate that. I hate that with a passion. And you right with the dread. But see, I call the, you know, people call whatever the dread people, I call them dingy knights because they dingy. And they always just look like they nigga, they always look dingy as fuck, bro. Like I don't know if they stink or not, but they look dingy as fuck and they always gonna have Egyptian musk somewhere.
Yep. Yeah.
Prime example. No shade though, right? Look, so you know, what's the nickname? Lenny Kravitz, right?
Uh-huh.
So I was watching Sherry Shepherd's show a couple of weeks ago, and Sherry Shepherd was like, yo, Lenny Kravitz, he's so fine. I hope he come on the show. I can't wait to meet him, and da-da-da-da. So then she goes on, she was like, you know who lucky? She was like, that Lisa Bonet is lucky as hell, because she was with both of them. That she lucky as hell. She was with Jason, Momoa, she was with Lenny Kravitz, and she was like, I wonder how she got them. And then I thought about it. I was like, she got them because they dingy nice. You know, dingy nice usually unify together because Lisa Bonet dingy too, bruh. Like, come on.
She is.
They all dingy together. I'm just like, and normally, like, I mean, because look, if you go to a room and you see a whole bunch of, like, you know, different ethnicities, but you see a black person, you're going to gravitate towards your black person. So, right. Like, if I'm dingy, I'm going to gravitate to other dingy niggas. That's what I'm just saying. Right. So that's out there. She was dingy. So we are moving on to opera that thing out. This is where you pick any song that you know at least one verse to, and you sing it in your best opera voice. It could be a rap song, a theme song, nursery rhyme, whatever you got.
Okay, my best opera voice.
I don't like no whips and chains. You can't tie me down, but you can whip your loving on me, baby. Whip your loving on me. I am Charger, baby. I choke you, but I ain't no killer, baby.
That's how you do that thing. That's what I'm talking about. You had the octaves. I heard them.
I put it out. Yeah, I do that. I'm a professional singer, too.
Hey, I believe you.
Yeah, I do that thing. Grand Rising Kings.
Okay. Digitize Unite. So we are moving on. Last but not least is our game, Sing-A-Doo. Sing-A-Doo is a family-friendly game that all can play. It's a music game me and my homeboy, DJ All-Star, created over the quarantine. So we have different categories. We have hip-hop, R&B, greatest hits, pop Billboard hits, country rock, sing a new favorites, old school, TV themes, and party and dance hits. So what you're doing, you're singing the melody of the song, which you can only use the word do. And then you have to guess what I'm doing. So I'm going to do a couple of songs and see if you can guess them. Then I'm going to hold the card up for you to do something and I'll guess them. And then we're going to be out of here. All right. First one is hip hop and R&B. You ready?
Mm-hmm.
Do, 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 do. Do, 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 do.
Monica.
What's the name of the song?
We are face to face.
All right, that's what I'm talking about. That's before you walk out of my life. All right.
Yep.
All right, next one. This is, I'm going to try to see. How old are you?
43.
You should know this one. Okay, this is a TV theme. All right. Do, 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 do. Do 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 you ain't gonna get it. Damn sure I ain't gonna get it.
I ain't gonna get it.
Animaniacs!
Oh, the it's the Animaniacs, duh. Damn, I should have got that though.
See, my dudes was right. You were just
No, your dudes was right.
All right. Last one, old school.
Okay.
Do 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 do
do do do do do
do do do do
do do do do do do do do do do do do do do do do do do do do.
So let me, okay, so I'm gonna pull the card up to the camera. Once you find a song in there you can do, let me know and I'll try to guess it. If I need to move the card, just let me know.
All right, I got it.
Okay.
Do, 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 do.
What's love got to do with it?
Come on now, because it's my voice. You're gonna guess everything I put out there.
Come on, let me tell you something. Tina Turner, that's it.
That's
your... I've been singing Tina Turner. I've been singing What's Love Got to Do With since I was 3 years old. And I bullshit you not. That was my first song I ever learned in life. My mom told me, she was like, nigga, everybody was singing The Wheels on the Bus Go Round and Round. She was like, your ass over there, what's love got to do? That ass here. She was like, if I would have known how ignorant you was, I would have filmed you then. Well, all right, let's see. Next one.
Come on, bring it on. Let's see. Put it over a little bit to your other side. Okay.
Okay.
All right, come on. All right. Don't.
This hip hop, right?
Dun dun, yep. Dun.
Is it Dr. Dre something?
Dun dun, 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 dun dun.
I don't know.
Dun dun, dun dun.
What is it?
What's up? Shut up!
Oh, come on!
What's up? Shut up! Come on now.
You had a little bit of the news. Yeah, okay. The internet was internet before. That's what I
didn't catch. That's what it was. Because I sound like all the records.
All right. Last one.
Doom, doom, doo, doo. Doo, 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 doo.
Okay. Ain't nobody.
Do, 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 do. Come on now. I sound like the record. Come on.
Okay, you got your dudes up.
Check a card. Let's go.
Well, that is how you play Sing-A-Do. If anybody wants to get it, you can get it at singado.com. And Chris, I appreciate you for being on the show. Please let everybody know how to find you again. Yeah. The show you have coming up. If you have merch that you're selling, tell them how to get in contact with you.
Hey, man, you can find me on Instagram at It's Chris Sneed. You can get your low key bless keychains. I'm the prize keychains and your low key cute keychains. You can go to my Instagram and find that. I got some shows coming up, man. Improv, Comedy Store, Laugh Factory, Funny Bone, Virginia Beach, Crypto.com Arena, SoFi Stadium in LA, the T-Mobile Arena. Just go to my Instagram. You can see what I'm doing, man, and follow me at It's Christine. Check out my Shot of the Days and watch out for my Netflix special coming out this year in November. I need urgent care. And that's it, man. We moving. We got some things going. We popping.
Talking about, wait a minute. So you said you had a low-key blessed keychain. Where the shirts at? Because I need to rock that.
You need a low-key blessed shirt? I got those, too.
Oh, well, nigga, that's what, listen, I need one in every color because, you know what I'm saying, the struggle be real, but I do be low-key blessed, though.
Yeah, I got you. Just send me a DM and rock it on your next show. I got you.
That'll work. And that has been another episode of Candid Kisses TV. Make sure you tune in on all streaming platforms Monday, Thursday, 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We'll holla.
We holla. All right, Michelle.
What singer do? Hey, cuz. What singer do, cuz?
Singer do is a music game that all can play. All you have to do is sing the melody of the song on the card using only the word do.
Do. Same genre. Do.
What?
Do.
Kick off my shoes and relax my feet. Just kick it.
Do.
We'll make you.
Do.
You got your family and they need you there.
Oh, no,
but you... I try to resist being last on your list. But no other girl's gonna do.
Order your copy today at singadoo.com.